From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today we're going to meet two of the five candidates seeking a seat on the Board of Aldermen in Wrightsville Beach. We'll also meet one person running for Southport's Board of Aldermen in Ward 2. It's our final candidate from Southport who's up first today. In segments 2 and 3, we meet Pat Bradford and Sonia Cheney of Wrightsville Beach. Each candidate will talk one-on-one with me today, answering my questions and yours. There is one way for you to get your question in during this live Thursday edition. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org. We're in the middle of our big fall pledge drive and cannot take phone calls today for Coastline. And remember, each candidate appears in only one segment. Today's candidates join us in an order randomly chosen before the show. First, Southport, that 225-year-old city spanning less than 4 square miles near the confluence of the Cape Fear River and the Atlantic Ocean in Brunswick County. It was voted America's happiest seaside town by Coastal Living in 2015. Today, the U.S. Census Bureau estimates about 3,600 people call Southport home. Southport is divided into two wards, each represented by three people, to make up a six-member board. The mayor of the city of Southport serves a 2-year term. Aldermen serve 4-year terms, which are staggered. Earlier this season, we met all the candidates running for the two seats in Ward 1, as well as the candidates running for mayor. Archived interviews are online at whqr.org. Joining us now is Laura Sharkey, who is running for the one open seat in Southport's Ward 2. She is the current vice chair of the Southport Planning Board, on which she has served for 2 years. She also volunteers at Seabiscuit Wildlife Shelter, Caswell Avenue Community Garden, Coastal Water Watch, and the Southport Beautification Committee. Before moving to North Carolina, Laura Sharkey spent 24 years as a professional firefighter and EMT in Prince William County, Virginia. She was one of the first female firefighters to advance to lieutenant. She was a 2-term governor appointee to the Virginia Fire Services Board, and she was elected vice president of the local professional firefighters association. Laura Sharkey, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
And again, you can send your own question to coastline@whqr.org. Laura Sharkey, you broke some ground in terms of firsts as a female. What lessons would you take from your time as a firefighter, being a woman in a male-dominated field?
I approached my entry into the fire service as that was something that I wanted to be, and I was so impressed by its heritage and traditions and everything. I wanted to be part of it, and I wasn't out there to change it. I wanted to be part of that tradition and provide part of that profession and doing for, you know, the basis of service, community, and why you were there. And so I would approach Southport the same way. I'm there to serve the community, and I'm not there to change it. But how do we make it successful? How do we make it a pleasant place for the people that live there?
You haven't been in Southport very long. You said you moved there in about 2014?
That's correct.
So about 3 years, you've wasted no time with all this volunteer work and serving on the planning board and the beautification committee. Why now a run at the Board of Aldermen?
I attend just about all the alderman meetings. I have been. I just like to know what was going on in the city and how can I be involved. And the first approach was to be appointed to the planning board, and that helps me, you know, be involved. But I see there's needs for more time to be spent on some of the issues that Southport has in front of it. And the only way for me to contribute is to be on the Board of Aldermen. You can be volunteers and like beautification and stuff like that, but that doesn't actually get you a seat at the table to make some decisions on how we plan for the future.
Which issues in Southport do you feel are getting short shrift?
Well, one is a long-range vision. We don't have any kind of communicated long-range plan. There is the CAMA plan for Southport, which is the Coastal Area Management Act that all coastal areas are supposed to have on file, which was created, but we don't seem to refer to it in any of our decision-making. It's not used as a template or anything for how they decide budget or, you know, capital improvements or anything. And so therefore, decisions have been made in the last 2 years that I've been watching the aldermen's meetings more or less in a crisis kind of mode. We're reacting, we're not being proactive.
And this seems to be an issue that's come up in just about all of the interviews with candidates in Southport. I asked Mayor Jerry Dove recently about the lack of a strategic plan, and he said there is one.
Well, I think the people that have been in Southport quite a while, you know, long-term people, feel that the CAMA plan is their strategic plan. But I don't see them utilizing it as a strategic plan. And I don't want to be negative towards anybody who's been governing before me. But I just think we should be more transparent about what the plan is.
Give us an example of an issue that the Southport Board of Aldermen had to deal with on a kind of emergency or crisis basis.
Well, one thing that's being dealt with right now is the Franklin Square Gallery building, a historic building that's used by the Art Guild there in town, and it was not being maintained. The physical structure, the exterior, was the responsibility of the city by contract, the lease agreement, and no money had been put towards that maintenance, and the roof was actually, you know, at the point where it was leaking, and we had to have, you know, emergency, motions to transfer money and everything like that because there was no maintenance plan. There was no strategic plan on looking at the condition of buildings that we own in the city, what needs to be done to them, how do we take care of them, so on and so forth.
There has been some pretty serious flooding going on near the Yacht Basin on Bay Street in Southport. And, you know, some of that mitigation work to improve the area is underway. Do you feel like that plan is sufficient and the city is on the right track when it comes to dealing with that flooding problem?
I do believe the Public Works Director, David Fox, has done a really good job of identifying problem areas. I'm aware that the storm drain replacement there at Bay Street and Caswell should alleviate a lot of the street flooding there. It's not going to totally resolve it because it's subject to the tidal flow, which is high and low depending on the moon and rain and all those things. The other thing that's going to happen is the city is going to go into have an assessment done on all our sewer lines and things like that. So we'll probably find some other issues that need to be corrected, and we'll have to make, you know, there'll have to be a decision made on what our priorities are.
When you think about elements of the infrastructure, like the electrical grid, that's something that the city of Southport has been managing. Is that something that you think should stay under the aegis of Southport, or should that eventually get passed over to a larger entity like Brunswick Electric?
I think the best way to approach a big question like that is you do a cost-benefit analysis. You have to look at your options. You know, what is it costing to be independent? And we're independent, but we're also part of an organization called Electric Cities, which is a cooperative that helps, you know, manage your program. Or do we become part of a bigger entity like Brunswick Electric? But it comes down to the cost-benefit analysis. I couldn't just say off the top. It wouldn't be appropriate to say off the top of my head what is the best decision.
One of the biggest challenges facing the city of Southport going forward is dealing with this influx. It's a rapidly growing area. It's a rapidly growing county, rapidly growing city. A lot of people like you are finding it and moving there. So how do you deal with forward motion, progress, and still stay true to what makes Southport, Southport?
One, you engage your citizens. You have lines of communication with them on what's important to them so that you're informed. Also, we need to be active with our surrounding municipalities. Because I think collectively we're dealing with the same issue. Caswell Beach has got an influx. Oak Island's got an influx. You know, Boiling Springs Lakes has an influx. Brunswick County as a whole has an influx of people. And so there's issues that together we need to address. And so Southport, instead of treating itself as it's just thinking about itself by itself as a little entity, we should, you know, reach out to our other municipality neighbors and work with them, maybe collectively work on some concerns. Transportation, for one of them, you know, that's a huge concern. Let's work together for that area on how we work with DOT, you know, for our new road improvements or overpasses or underpasses or whatever they're proposing for us. Economic development. Brunswick County is revamping their approach for economic development, and I would like to see Southport maybe reach out to them and say, well, can we be part of this? At least can we be part of the conversation and find out what works, you know, for us? We're not all going to agree. All entities aren't going to agree on what's best for their own town or the county. And that's where the citizen input comes in. You know, what do the citizens see Southport to be? And I think most of them like what they see right now. You know, not high-rise construction, not, you know, high-density housing. You know, we like it green. We like to have our beautiful view of the river. We like to have it quiet and, you know, a slower pace. And how do we manage that with that influx?
A hotel is planned for Southport's riverfront, and this is something the planning board approved. You are a member of the planning board. And this was to the dismay of nearby property owners. And so there are kind of two questions in this issue. First of all, the specific question about the project now that the developer is planning to sell rooms to investors and then have those rented out. Is he operating within what the city approved as that business? Is that the original idea?
That might not have been the original idea that was proposed at the planning board meetings and communicated to the Board of Aldermen. However, the method that it will be managed will be the same way. We're not. It's still going to have the same volume, I think, you know, of visitors. It's going to be managed by a management corporation that will oversee the property and make sure it's maintained. And so I don't feel that there's a violation of the intent. I think, you know, he obviously had he had to find a way for investors, you know, for the project to move forward, and it was it's possible to do it that way.
And this is a great example of one of those issues that kind of is emblematic of that, you know, the progress versus keeping what people like about Southport. How would you, as an alderman, balance the desires of neighboring property owners who are very much against this with developers' interests?
Well, it's not even developers' interests. What is in the best interest of the city? We need to probably increase our commercial tax base a little bit to make sure that our residential taxpayers aren't, you know, footing the bill for everything, because visitors use our roads, you know, visitors use facilities, you know, the public restrooms, you know, visitor centers, things like that. So how do we collect money from that? Well, you have places they can stay in, a hotel. That particular piece of property, reviewing it at the planning board level, it fit the land use plan under CAMA. It used to be a ferry landing, so it had already been commercially developed. It wasn't clearing out, you know, pristine, you know, shoreline, you know, land or anything like that. So it fit into the land use plan. It was given public, you know, hearings. Everybody had their opportunity for input. And it was the best use for that piece of land. I really believe so.
Southport officials have been hoping that the state legislature passes this law allowing municipalities in Brunswick County to charge an additional tax up to 0.5% on prepared food and beverages. Right now, the bill got stuck in the Finance Committee. Is there anything that an alderman can do or that the alderman should be doing to help advance that kind of progress in Raleigh?
I would need to confirm this and make sure if I do get elected as alderman that I have the authority to go and meet with the legislators at the state level. But I do believe we have that, you know, authority. And that's one of those avenues of communication that probably needs to be exercised more, is communicating to Representative Eiler and Senator Raybon on what's important to Southport and what helps Southport and how can we, you know, see some of those bills get passed.
And, of course, we know the reason for that tax is to address riverfront erosion. If the bill doesn't get passed, what does Southport need to do to deal with its riverfront erosion?
Well, some of it's been addressed. The riprap got replaced after the hurricane with FEMA partially FEMA funding and things like that. The other areas are a little more complex because there's a mixture of privately owned land and there's city-owned property, so we're going to have to work together with those private landowners and look at that shoreline engineering plan that was actually adopted by the Board of Aldermen a year ago, or a year and a half ago, and prioritize what sections should be worked on and how do we work with the private landowners to implement the proper erosion control, because there's a mixture of proposals, living shoreline, bulkhead replacement, things like that. So I think just referring to that plan and then figuring out how we fund it with grants, tax money, things like that, but making sure we're all in agreement on how to do it.
Question from a listener. What will you do to keep the city on firm financial footing? Are there any ways that Southport can cut its spending or any areas where it should be investing more?
Well, we need to make sure we take care of our infrastructure. They are going to do an engineering assessment of our sewer and water lines, I understand. So we may, be told that we need to spend some money in those areas just to make sure that we take care of those important facilities. We need to develop maintenance schedules, vehicle replacement plans for all the city-owned vehicles and stuff so that you don't wait till it's a crisis where something doesn't work. And once you start having some of those plans for budgeting, that'll help us be able to figure out where we can save money.
And that's our time. Laura Sharkey, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back, we'll meet two people running for the Board of Aldermen in Wrightsville Beach. Sonia Cheney is up next, and we're taking your questions during this live Thursday discussion via email only today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.